Hello and welcome back to the Not So Fit Couple podcast with your hosts, Lucy Davis.
And Benjamin Holden.
And Cal Hibbard.
We have a very special guest with us today, but before we introduce him, this episode of the podcast is sponsored by Fabletics Men. Of course, we only work with the best, as I've said previously before. And today, I am wearing the Front Row t-shirt, which is nice plain tee. And I think these are the Reset shorts, which I don't think that you can currently see. The good thing about these objects, would you call them? Is that what it's called?
Pieces of clothing.
Garments. It's just like they're so high quality. When we were training down the other week at the gym with Steve, he's asked me like where stuff was from and what it was like and stuff. Stop pulling faces. people are allowed to have different observations on materials, and he's saying how good they were. So it's a pleasure to work with him. I will be telling you more about the brand, the special offers, and some of the perks of joining the VIP membership later on the podcast. But for now, welcome, Mr. Edward, to the Not So Fickle podcast.
Hello, how are we?
I'm very good. I'm just going to crack open a monster. So Cal is the one who usually produces these podcasts.
I am.
So if he's looking pretty sketchy during the podcast, checking audio levels and stuff.
Yeah, apologies.
That'll be his natural tendencies.
He's running around just making sure levels are good. We've got a bit of a different setup today because obviously three
we've
of us
have got a triple mic setup.
Yeah.
Considering we're not in an actual, to be fair, this room in the house turns into a podcast studio, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it does pretty well, doesn't it? Yeah.
It actually genuinely does.
Yeah, super quick as well.
And would you like to do the honours of telling people what to do with the British Podcast Awards?
Oh, wow. Hit the link in the first line of the description, submit for the Not So Fit Couple podcast, and then check your email address. It's a bit of a ball ache, but you've got to do it. Got to go through, check your email address. I've done it just one time because that's the only time you're allowed to do it.
You can't do it more than once, can you?
No.
Well, you can if you've got like five email addresses.
If you've got
addresses.
A million emails, yeah.
But I mean, we wouldn't ask you to do that.
Yeah. I think.
We would not.
I don't know when the vote, I don't know why I'm checking my watch. Like, it's going to tell me when the voting closes.
I don't know when the voting closes.
I presume it's some point mid July. So.
Double check that.
Make sure you get your votes in because basically, if we lose, we're never going to record another episode again.
Yeah, I'll be out of a job. Just sort me out. Literally.
That would be so sad, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But we do love the podcast. And what I've noticed as well during. We're not in lockdown anymore, but during COVID, a lot of people were quite highly anxious, and we always got the messages that the podcast really helped relieve their anxiety, which is actually so nice to hear coming from someone who has anxiety.
Yeah.
Being able to, can you imagine being able just to listen to us, have a chat, and it reduces their anxiety?
Yeah.
How nice.
I think when I know we've only done a couple of trips like away, we've been to Birmingham a couple of times, London a couple of times, we've met some other people, and the one thing that they always mention straight away is, oh, the podcast.
Yeah.
And if like, do you know when like people say to you like, oh, what is your goal or what is the meaning of your life? To be able to go somewhere and someone come up to you and say like, oh, the podcast like helped me through lockdown or changed my life.
Hmm.
There's not much else that I would wish for in life than be able to go to different places and people come and tell me that they've had their life changed by the content that we've between the three of us created.
But that's so great about a podcast, isn't it? It's free. All you have to do is listen. There's nothing complicated about it. It's genuinely popping a pair of headphones, zone out and just listen, which is kind of the beauty of a podcast as well. Like you don't feel like, do you know, when you need some time off social media, you can just sit there and
I used to be quite confused by podcasts. Like it's quite a weird, it's like a radio show, isn't it, basically? But it's people that you want to listen to. It's not like...
You're not forced to listen to it.
It's like between 9 and 10, I've got to listen to like Chris Evans or something, you know? It's like, I want to listen to these people talk about this topic. Let's get it on.
I think that's a good thing as well, because they're all on topics. You know, you can, if we're ever talking about something, you're like, Ben, shut the fuck up. Like, you just get the episode.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah, 100%.
But I think firstly, Cal, would you like to tell people what you do?
Yeah, I'm Cal. I basically just take pictures and put them on the internet. That's what I do.
Put them on the internet.
Yeah. No, so I'm content manager for the My Coach School. You've probably seen, if you're watching this podcast, you've seen some of the stuff that I've made, because I edit all the podcasts.
Yeah.
I do all the filming. I'm just kind of behind the scenes looking very unphotogenic and with cameras, basically. That's me. But yeah, so I also do like big picture. Like I do a lot of the back end stuff for the school. So uploading the trainers and then filming the new trainers. And then we also look after a lot of the branded content that Lucy and Ben do on the side, obviously with their Instagram platforms, and then help film YouTube videos from time to time.
And being YouTube videos from time to time last week.
Time to time, yeah.
Yeah, you were in mine as well also, the glute workout.
I wasn't the glute workout,
people
yeah.
really love you. They're just like, oh, Cal.
Last week I ate like Cal for the day. So you go and check that one out. It's my YouTube channel.
Link in the bio.
The tuna melts. But they've gone down a treat, by the way.
Yeah, as they should. They're so good, honestly.
You basically, you make everything look fucking great.
This is why I'm here. Yeah, thank you.
Truly though, isn't it?
Yeah, Cal works with us. I would say not for us. Like, I know in the structural sense that's what it means, but in regards to, like, the way that we work as like a collective. We work as a team. We move forward. But I think we basically wanted to do an episode today because we get quite a lot of questions, I think, about personal training, about business, about moving things forward. So we thought it would be a good idea to get Cal on today to talk about things from like an external point of view and coming into the business and also coming into like the fitness industry as a whole to get his view and get your view mm-hmm. on that. So first, how did we all meet?
How did we meet? Do you remember?
Yeah, because if I'm thinking of the right thing in the gym.
Yeah.
So I was, and I even remember what I was wearing, everything. We were in the gym. What, I've forgotten the name of that gym.
Pure Gym Bidston.
The gym.
Yeah. And Cal, basically, you just came up to me to start, didn't you? Or did you come up to both of us?
I'm a better looking one.
Yeah.
Oh, you explain it. You're probably better explaining it than me.
Yeah. So basically, I was applying for a job with Gymshark at the time as a photographer. It was like a position that they had open, and I was looking for a more full time position because I was freelancing, doing like weddings and like food photography, just every kind of photography, but wanted to get into like fitness. And so then I knew that I needed to kind of spice up my portfolio. So then, yeah, just kind of walked up to Ben and said, all right, mate, can I take pictures of your muscles? yeah, I'll do it. And then so Ben said, yeah, of course, just...
just follow me to the changing rooms, let's go.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, I took a few pictures under a towel. And no, so that was it. And then...
That was for my OnlyFans account there. That's not getting...
Yeah, but... We didn't talk about that, only then.
Oh.
But yeah, and then so like a week later I met Lucy. I don't think I met you that first day.
No, I obviously was thinking of the first time that I met you.
First time we met, I think you just kind of came in, I was sat talking to Ben.
Yeah.
And you just gave me a big hug literally the minute I saw you. I was like, oh, what were God, your, spoke to this person.
Before meeting Lucy, what was your initial conceptions or perception?
What was your perception, mate? I found it really
funny. Well, so because you're like an influencer, I've worked with like influencers before, so I knew that you're all like normal people. Like before working with influencers, I used to see them as like, oh my God, they're like celebrities. They're like, but no, everyone's just normal people who just, I see Instagram as like a metric of how well you market yourself and like how much effort you put into that platform. It's not like you're some crazy individual who's like unattainable and like, some people act like that and they're just arseholes. We don't talk to those people. But no, I knew you'd be like a normal person, but I thought you might be like a bit reserved, a bit quiet. But no, you literally, as soon as I saw you, oh my God, how are you doing, man? Super energetic, yeah. It was nice. It was lovely. And then we just kind of hit it off. And then, so then we did, what did we do? We shot some, I think it was literally just photos. Like it was more for me, to be honest, which is really nice as well, because you guys, I don't think you even really used the photos. It was just so I could use my portfolio.
I remember we shot some of the new Gymshark Vital Seamless stuff in the blue.
Yeah.
I use that.
But like, I look back at those photos and I hate them. They're just not the right style. But it was a learning process.
You live and learn.
So then we started using those photos. And then, so then at one point you needed someone who had studio experience to like shoot some, I think it was like product launch you guys
were
doing.
Yeah, we had the product launch of the bands, barber pads and stuff like that, didn't we?
Yeah. And so you just kind of messaged me and said, do you know how to shoot a studio? I was like, I said, yeah, of course, I'm really good at shooting like studio photography. I'd never done studio shoot before in my life. So like for the next 3 days, I was up on YouTube for like no joke, I probably spent like 4 hours a day on YouTube, like, how do I set it up? And so I walked in and kind of knew what I was doing. So then studio shots were good. We just kind of started working together, didn't we?
I think we already had someone doing content creation then. Mm-hmm. So when you first did stuff, it was for your like portfolio and stuff. Yeah. But I think if you don't, sometimes it's weird like what can happen by just literally speaking to someone.
Yeah, literally.
And like just putting your, getting outside your comfort zone a little bit, taking a bit of a gamble and just going and having a conversation, because you never know where a conversation is going to lead to in the future. And the we had that conversation like, it was like 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago. Must have been 2.5 years ago.
Oh my God, was it 2.5 years ago?
And then from there, we had, at that time,
it was
no sort of intentions to take anyone
else
on. But then 2 years later after that conversation, you're now working with us full time.
Yeah,
yeah. So that's how we do, is kind of like small conversations of just planting a seed and then, build up to and lead to. Obviously from there, we did some freelance stuff together because you were... Yeah. Doing some stuff for us like through COVID, and then you started with us,
I think, pre-COVID.
It was pre-COVID. We were like outsourcing some work to you, and then it got to August and we were like, do you want to come down to York, wasn't
to the app,
it
to the first app meeting
for the app meeting, then we asked you on the train.
Yeah,
that's when we did like the meeting. Aww, didn't we on the cute. Train yeah, being like the contract. So then that was all for the app meeting. And then literally we went to Lanzarote for 6 weeks and you were full
time. Yeah, that was quite a fun introduction to work. To
I know.
Yeah,
I was thinking that. Imagine, so our culture of our business is very, it's relaxed, but it's also productive as hell.
Yeah, it's very fast paced. That changes.
Yeah, well, it's super fast paced, but obviously you've got to make sure, I think like in any business that like you're looking after people who work with you.
Yeah.
And, well, obviously, we went out to Lanzarote once for a week.
Twice.
No, I mean, we went out.
First time.
First time for a week, came back.
That was when you first started, wasn't it, as well, basically?
Yeah, I don't think you were full-time then.
No, I was full-time for sure.
From November.
Yeah.
But we went out in October, didn't we, the first time?
No,
because you asked me to start working with you in August, so I would have been full-time in September.
Full-time September, yeah.
September, okay, yes. We went out for, like, a holiday, didn't we?
Literally.
For a week in October. Let's just go for a week, shoot some content. Came back, we unpacked, and then literally
because we were quarantining, weren't we?
We were quarantining.
Yeah, yeah.
Lanzarote went off the list, and we just flew back out for six weeks.
So it initially was on like a list. We had to quarantine for 10 days, maybe
10 or 12.
And then like 3 days into our quarantine, we all quarantined. It went onto a green list, which was like, oh, you don't need to quarantine because Lanzarote was like so far away from actual mainland Spain. There's no COVID there really.
Yeah.
So we didn't need to quarantine. So Lucy DM'd me and said, are we going? Oh, the group actually. We've got like a team group.
Yeah.
We'll be going back up to Lanzarote, boys. And then I literally booked flights that night, didn't I? Within an hour and a half of them going on the green list, we were like due to fly out the next Monday.
Yeah. Mad. It was, I remember the turnaround. I'm a week in advance packer. I was just so stressed.
You mean
like,
college packer?
No, on
oh
the night before,
my
right,
God.
Yeah.
But then, we were in Lanzarote for 6 weeks.
The reason we stayed
so
there
productive.
For so long is because we were out there and then the UK went into lockdown. We're like,
not
fucking coming back to sit in my house for 4 weeks. So just sitting here in the sun.
We were completely compliant with the rules, and then all the gyms here in the UK were shut, and so we're like an online. And the thing that some people don't really kind of understand is that they see that you guys are English, we're based in England, but like we have customers in like hundreds of countries.
Oh,
like
178.
Yeah, insane amount. So like we need to be producing content for them who might not be suffering local
doing
restrictions.
Stuff, yeah.
And so having access to full gyms in Lanzarote, like we had to wear masks. But other than that, it was great. And so yeah. That was kind of,
that was
we just kind of stayed out there.
Just have a way ever after.
Live the life for 6 weeks. Yeah, it was great. It was the fucking best.
I can't wait to
we talk about it all the time because we are going to go out again and stay there for like a considerable amount of time.
Some people call it like Lanzarote and say it's like an absolute scabble.
There are some places that are
grotty. We went into quite a nice area, and I think you really appreciate it once you go out there into certain areas and do certain things. Like it was just a belt of time, wasn't it? Like we just the day to day was get up, have a monster.
Yeah.
Oh,
go in training like an outdoor gym. Uh-huh. Like training the sun is sick. Like you just get a completely different vibe from it.
Yeah.
And then we would go to the supermarket, like it was cheap as well.
Yeah.
Get a load of food and eat cheap cheese and plastic.
Oh my God.
Like I love that cheap, shitty cheese, which is just literally like plastic.
We used to
on your sandwich.
You two did that.
The bread they had the anti-crust bread, so it was like all the crust stuff
ridiculous.
The bread.
Literally. No, it's the best.
That was great. A little bit of lettuce and salad, a little bit of mayo.
Yeah.
That was lunch, whatever little snack for the day. Then we would chill, barbecue every evening at 7 o'clock, like every a mass night feast, a barbecue. Massive feast, and every then it'd be like night. A 9 p.m. walk, still really warm.
Yeah, and Lucy, you'd always have your steps boxed off by then, so me and Ben generally
I'm the type of person when I'm, like, I was always on that trampoline, wasn't I? Literally, and it was like tracking my steps while being on the trampoline, so I'd always hit my steps by the time you two are going on a nighttime walk. I'm not a massive fan of walking in the dark. It's just not really for me.
That's fair enough.
So yeah. I just we always got really into it.
We had head torches.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we went all out. We went fucking Bear Grylls on it. But I think the other thing you've got to realise is though, after you, it's, I like walking in the evening. I like walking after I've had something to eat. Yeah. Reason why is it helps your digestive system. Hence, it helps you poo better as well.
Mm.
Get the digestive and the bowels moving. So it's always a good thing. But that was an epic time. And then...
Yeah.
From there, we went into another lockdown, and we just continued to. We've been grafting for like the last five many months just to get this.
After
we've had some pushbacks with it, and here we are. What would your advice be to someone who is what's the terminology? Not a content creator, looking to get into like your line of work, whether it be like freelance or whether it's someone who wants to work for someone else or up improving their game to do with photography and videography. What would you really maybe like three basic pieces of advice be?
Well, I think, so a lot of people like message me and say, what course did you do at university? And like, I studied zoology at university. Like I studied animals.
You studied ants?
Literally I was studying ants in a jungle in Costa Rica for like months. So like, you don't need to specifically study photography, but what you need to do is just take a shitload of bad photos and just be really bad to start with. Just keep shooting, keep learning. It's the same with anything. Like, you're never going to be a professional bodybuilder when you start lifting your first weights, but you need to put the graft in, and you need to just shoot. You need to also enjoy it. So just work at it, keep shooting, and then don't be afraid to take on projects that are too big for you. If there's money involved, then take on projects that are within your wheelhouse, but if it's for free, take on a project that's like a daunting task, shoot it, and like just learn. Like, I shot a wedding in, what did I shoot? In London. No, I shot an engagement in London. Just completely, it was like a free engagement for some people. And I'd never shot an engagement before in my life. Completely shit myself. Again, was like staying up for like 3 days, learning like how to shoot. I literally Googled like how to shoot wedding engagement photos.
Mm.
Ended up going down, completely smashed it out of the park. Ended up booking like three weddings off the back of it. And then that's how like I snowballed into like shooting weddings. But yeah, so another thing is just like, get in touch with people and just see. So I'm a big proponent of free work. I don't know about how you guys feel about it.
That's how we started.
Yeah, like a lot of people in the media sphere at least say like, oh, you shouldn't be, know your worth and always never take like free work ever. And I couldn't disagree with that more. It's so good if you're in a position to be able to do it, to just take on a free project for someone and say, hey, I can create this level of content for you. I'm going to do it for you for free once. If you like the photos, then work with me again, but then we'll start charging. It's such a good way of getting in the door. That's how I started shooting with you. It's how I started shooting with a company I worked with in Bali. I was interning in Bali for like 3 months, living out there, just literally because I emailed them and said, hey, I'll do some free work for you to start with. So yeah, that's really good. And then just YouTube, honestly, like if there's anything you're struggling with, if there's a style that you want to replicate, like find a photographer you really like. Maybe me, maybe someone else, maybe anyone on Instagram that you like, or even in the media world on YouTube, whoever. And then just see how can I create images, videos, content that looks like that, and just kind of rip them off. And then, you know, start to make it your own. That kind of
vibe. And that's the biggest thing. That's how we started. Like, and people buy, and this goes if you're a personal trainer as well, people buy off results and feedback. And if you've got no results and no feedback, it's difficult to build up that trust and authority of an industry. Hence, like if you're a personal trainer, you need to work with like 10 people for free to build up a portfolio of results. I like taking images for free to build up a portfolio. The same methodology works and transitions into every industry. You've got to be willing to like put the graft in first. And I agree now that like once you build up that trust and authority and you are like a reputable figure and you are good at what you do, that you shouldn't work for free.
Yeah.
But until that point, if you've done that, you need to fucking get amongst it. You need to do shit because there's other people who will do it for free. So you've got to be willing to do stuff like that in order to get along. But another thing that Cal, since he's been on with us, has introduced me to is
Oh, for God's sake.
Come on, there it is. This is important. Lucy Davis, you don't struggle with this.
Do you know what this is? It's a male dildo.
It's a nostril dildo.
It is. So, this is, I've not used this yet.
Mate, this changed my life. And I'm not even joking about this. I got Ben onto this. Basically, as we're growing up, as we're men, little hairs in the nostril really become a bit of an issue. And if you start plucking them out, A, it hurts like fuck. You okay?
Yeah.
But then also, like, sometimes I get infected. It's just a whole, like, it's a problem. This thing changed my life.
Does it hurt?
Not even remotely. You can't even feel it.
That's an eyebrow trimmer and an ear trimmer as well, isn't it?
Mate, get it.
There we go.
Come on.
It's first time for everything. Ah!
Oh! Did that hurt?
Did it feel really weird?
Mate, trust me, get it in there.
You didn't even get anything.
Get
then,
it in there,
then.
Let's go.
She'll do it to you.
No, I don't have nostril hairs like you coming out of your nose.
I don't.
You do, I can see it. You've got a hair sticking out your nose.
Just get it in. Move it around.
Oh, it feels weird.
It's so weird. But mate, you will have pristine nostrils.
I'm not doing it now. I'll do it another time, Lucy.
It's like, not. You've just pulled them all out now.
Have I?
Yeah. How is that?
It was an experience.
Yeah, I'm glad we went through that together.
Yeah.
But you're sniffing up your cut hair.
No, it sucks down into the thing.
Oh, does it?
It goes into the thing, does it?
I think so, yeah.
It's got a little torch on as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you've got very cavernous nostrils.
Cavernous? Like that
large. Large. Cavernous.
That was a first on the podcast as well. So if you watch it on YouTube.
Do you think many podcasts in the world have had people live nostril trimming?
I think that's the first one in the whole entire world.
We're breaking new ground here.
Make sure that you like the video on YouTube, because that is the first in the world for everything.
Do you know what? Sorry, I'm just having like a backlash thing. Do you know what's so important about that working for free as well? I think you've got to be a certain type of person. Mm. And if you're the certain type of person who can work for free and graft that period of time, you'll do well.
Yeah.
There'll be some people who think, no, I can't work for free because that means I've failed.
No. That's,
They'll have an approach. Because I know a lot of personal trainers who I spoke to, like, I was like, you've got to coach some people for free.
Yeah.
What are you offering them? They're like, no, like, I'm not going to make money. Well, you're not going to make money in the long term unless you can offer that to start with. We did it for a very long time, actually, when we started the business.
I think it's really important. You need to know when the cutoff. Like, so if I want to break into a new, say I wanted to go into property photography, to say, like, that's the one area of my portfolio I reckon, or one of the areas that's like lacking. I'd email like 10 property developers locally. I could probably go to like more high-end ones now because I've got a portfolio of other stuff, but I just say, hey, I'm looking to start learning, or I'm looking to break into property photography. I'm an experienced photographer. Here's an example of what I've shot before, even if it's just like family portraits or whatever, but I've got like a big portfolio of work now. I'd say, I'll come along to 3 houses this week. I'll shoot the hell out of them. Won't charge you a penny. If you like the photos, all I'd ask for is that I can use them in my portfolio and that you just give me a little copy on the thing. That's worth nothing, but it just means that I get something out of the exchange. And then once I've shot that, I've got 3 different houses. If I went to a high-end place, that'd all look really good for my portfolio. And then I'd just bang that into a PDF and send that out to as many property places as I wanted to. And then I could, like, that's a very easy way of doing it. And then you just got, a new portfolio.
I think the biggest thing is, though, you've genuinely got to enjoy it and you've got a real passion for photography. And it's the same with us. And I remember some girl commented on a post that I put about fat loss ages ago. And she's like, oh, the reason you push dieting and weight loss is because you want to make money from it. I was like, I didn't become a personal trainer because I thought it was going to be the job which is going to give me the most money in the world.
Yeah, literally.
Not a chance. If I want to make the most money in the world, I'd be doing something else like fucking trading or bank or something where there's loads of financial gain from where that isn't in personal training. Obviously, you can kind of excel yourself to as far as you want within the industry, but I didn't get into it because I wanted to make money.
Yeah.
Not by a long shot. You got to do it because you enjoy it. Especially in orange, you've got to do it because you enjoy helping people. Yeah. Like I said at the start of the podcast, there's no better feeling for me than speaking to someone I don't know and having an impact on their life. And the same for you. You can see it when you take photos that you have a real passion for, and you've got to have that, I believe, before anything else.
Yeah, no, so my plan was to go and be a vet. That was the plan. I was going to study zoology, then do a master's transfer into a 3-year vet course at Liverpool Uni. That was the plan. I had really good grades. I was more than like capable of doing it. It's just, I just kind of fell in love with taking photos, and the idea of like another 3 years of uni and then just working in a veterinary surgery for 3 years while I got like 7 years of just kind of grafting and not doing what I wanted to do. Didn't seem like what I wanted to do really. So yeah, just kind of went with the passion. It seems to have worked out quite well so far. So yeah, I'm gonna stick with it. That's the plan.
Okay. Big important question now. Dum, dum, dum. What is it like to work with us?
Fucking draining, honestly. It's good. I enjoy it. No, it's good. It's I can comfortably say it's the best job I've had. It's great. Yeah, it's really fun. It's
It's probably flexible. So different, isn't it?
Yeah, it's ridiculously different.
Like,
it's
yeah, crazy. You can't. Like the other week, we just went.
Is this you giving the description? Carl's.
No, no, I want to hear.
No, I was just saying, like, so some of the YouTube videos we've done, like Lanzarote one, we went off the whole day and just like swam in a pool, we're in the sun, eating food.
Literally.
The Michael Phelps one, the same thing. We just, which you can't really explain it, can you? It's.
Nah. It's,
that doesn't feel like work.
No, exactly. It doesn't feel like work at all.
Yeah.
And like, so when there is work that needs to be done, so like, obviously, my day to day isn't. Let's go and okay, so my day to day is pretty much flexible. I'm available to you two to shoot whatever we want, whenever you want, and we make it look good. But then there's also like actual responsibilities, like I need to liaise with the app team, I need to get content put up on the back end, I need to make sure everything's polished. Loads of just like regular boring editing. But then if ever I'm feeling snowed under, I just say, hey, feeling a bit overwhelmed. Lucy dives on, helps with this, Ben helps with this. Really flexible. Yeah, it's great. Honestly, like working for you guys is the best because like if I ever have any problem, I don't even think twice about like mentioning it to you. I never think, oh, I wonder how Ben thinks about this. Like, it's fine. If someone gets in touch with me and says, hey, we want you to come and do a photo shoot in, I don't know, in the middle of Manchester, or if Ben calls me up at like 11 o'clock at night and says, what are you up to tomorrow? I said, oh, I just need to edit some things. He says, cool. Harry Akins, an Olympic sprinter that we know, is looking for a photographer to shoot something for Land Rover. You're supposed to be working tomorrow. Take the day off. It's absolutely fine. Drive down, shoot this thing, because Ben knows I'm a massive fan of Land Rover. Mental. Like, that would never, ever, ever happen in another job. It's super chill.
I think that's the thing, is like when we've had conversations about like your friends who work in maybe corporate work on 9 to 5, the comparisons of like more so. And I think I had a question about it on Instagram story the other day about like my future aspirations for like I think personal business and fitness, like business for me was just to create as much freedom as possible, because that is the ultimate. Like I know people who have loads of money who are absolutely miserable, and I don't think that's what it's about, because they just work.
Literally.
To have like freedom is like beyond anything else. The point where like we do now, we can just fuck off and do something and go and live somewhere else for 6 weeks is like the ultimate for me.
Like I've got friends who are just hating their 9 to 5, and yeah, I'm making like really good money doing it, but like not looking forward to work at all, don't enjoy what they do, no passion for it, and I just kind of have the exact opposite, you know. I love coming to work every day. It's fun. Seriously, like I'm not even just saying that because Ben Lucy here, it genuinely is the most fun.
What, okay, next question was, what did you not expect? Like, what was the thing you walked into the position, you're like, okay, what was the thing that you didn't expect? And you can be as open or as honest with these.
What I didn't expect? I don't know. What didn't I expect?
Putting you on the spot.
I think I knew everything that the position entailed, to be honest. Like, there's a lot of web stuff.
Come into the business, like, things you're like, oh, I didn't know that. That was, like, kind of the case. I didn't know that. Kind of
it's been happened. Interesting to see, like, a different side of the fitness industry. Like, going to meetings with, like, big supplement companies or, like, meeting a lot of different people. Like, obviously, COVID's been a bit of a cop block.
Yeah, you kind of came in when, like, we're just going into COVID, so.
Yeah, but, and so, on one hand, I've come in and not had as much, like, flexibility. Like, we've not gone to IFS. We've not gone to these crazy trips. We've only been to Lanzarote once. Like, listen, I'm talking about only going to, like, the south of Spain for, like, 6 weeks. But, like, COVID's been a bit of a cock block. But at the same time, freelancing during COVID was the absolute worst. I was making, like, way less money than I used to make. Like, all my weddings cancelled. And that was, like, a big part of my income. And so, like, It's been so good to have like a really consistent full-time salaried career position. It's progressing me in my career. Like I have people contacting me on LinkedIn all the time through COVID. That is no joke. Like to have that kind of flexibility and like
100%
clearly having people who are interested in my skills, even through COVID. And like, for a lot of photographers I know, they've had to take like, oh, I'll just go and work in a restaurant through COVID, try and get some furlough pay. I know people who've taken like positions at Boots, like, because it's like an area that's not been affected. I know I didn't want to do that, yeah. But like, yeah, to have career progression through COVID is like, I couldn't have, yeah. Yeah, when you offered this position, I obviously jumped at the chance because I knew I wanted to work for you guys. But also, yeah, like I said, I'm like progressing in my career through COVID, which has been so good. So good. But yeah,
that's pretty much it. I think that's one of the biggest things that we spoke about this previously is like work culture and relationships within the work environment is like so important, because if you're working with people that you don't get on with, day to day just becomes an absolute drain. I'm sure there'll be people who will listen to the podcast who will go into work or go into offices and be like, miserable because and I had that experience when I worked for the police. I was miserable because of some of the people that I had to work with on a day-to-day basis, and it made my day-to-day absolutely terrible.
Yeah,
and you've got to think like how much time you're spending with that absolute cunt.
Yeah, literally.
And those people that you dislike, and how miserable that can make your day, and how much better can make your day just by working with people that you really get on with and gel with, how much more creative you can be in those kind of environments when you bounce off those people. And again, there's those times like surround yourself with the five people that you or better than you, whatever, to increase the ceiling that you're working at, and you'll always kind of catch those people up because you're all working that field. And I think it's the same with what we're doing, and it's the same like when we look at other people, and like again, we want to go and do more events and we want to go and do other stuff, and you're looking at other people within the field that you want to do stuff with, and I think it's good to have that almost like a group cohesion, and you're all on the same page and stuff.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. Yeah, I think I was maybe a bit apprehensive about coming on to start with, because it was just you two and me. Like, we are the three people behind my coach school. Like, obviously you two are the main driving force, but yeah, I was not worried about it, but like, obviously being so close with you guys day to day, we're going to become mates. Yeah. And like, we're like friends now, close friends. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know whether that would be an issue. Like, if Ben, I don't know, not that I'm this guy, but like, maybe if Ben ever said, oh, mate, could you just jump on this? I'd be like, oh, why is my mate telling me to just do some work? That's never been an issue at all. Like, it's never been like that. So, yeah, that was something that I thought might have been an issue, but clearly hasn't become an issue.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I think even if you know, like, I think if it's very clearly set out and you're all on the same page of shit, it's easy to do and easy to manage. And obviously we get other people to do other stuff for us, so it takes us the stress of us being able to do more creative stuff, because obviously we have the app team and the web team and the marketing team who take off a lot of stress from the stuff that we do, so we can create
good
educational, fun and entertaining content as well.
Yeah,
I think go on.
No, you go.
I was gonna say, I think that's the thing for us, we don't want to take on loads of people in-house, because
we have a good dynamic.
We rather have marketing, app and web elsewhere and outsource, because we don't want that structure. We don't want that, like, the structure of being in an office.
Yeah.
We've done it, and it wasn't for us. We're a very lifestyle business, so us three being in-house makes a lot of sense, rather than having, like, we could have like the marketing team in-house and this and that, but then you need a massive office, and that's just not how we work as a business.
And the thing is, in this modern age, like, for real, we could do everything we do with our laptop and a couple of hard drives, a couple of cameras and some batteries.
Yeah.
We could go to any country in the world, as long as we've got an internet connection, we're sound.
Yeah.
So like, COVID's obviously not been great, but like, we could have gone to Bali, traveled out there, shot content, the content had all looked fresh, amazing, and that's great. And that's why I think trying to keep the team as small as, obviously when it becomes a limiting factor, like we can't create enough content, then we need to bring people on. But like, keeping it us three at the moment, I think when COVID eases, it's gonna be super.
Yeah, it just keeps it dynamic.
100%. Super handy, yeah, and flexible.
100%, 100%. I think one of the other things that, which would be interesting for a lot of people, is obviously from an external point coming in, what your kind of now obviously you came from an outside position into like the thick of it, and you'll see a lot more of it, especially as we do events and stuff, and obviously you've met a lot of people, our friends and stuff from the fitness industry, and a lot of great people, like obviously Harry, We met Stephen Morgan the other week.
Yeah, Ryan Terry. Loads of just big names.
A few other people from USN. Yep. We went and met La Bomba and stuff the other week. What is your kind of like views now? Would you say from like looking in like maybe 2 years ago to the fitness industry to like your experience now being in like the heart of it? How do you think your views have changed, or what were your views of the fitness industry back then to what is going on now? I know it's a very open question, and it's like very, is it multifaceted because there's so many different things going on? Just dive in.
Talk about it. Yeah. So like, I've always been into fitness. Like, I was very sporty growing up. Used to play tons of sports. But the fitness industry itself, I've always been like very interested in, like, I used to watch YouTube vloggers, and it's been very interesting. Like, I used to watch Steve Cook vlogs when I was in uni, and then meeting him the other day was a bit mental. But yeah, no, the industry itself's interesting. It's very...
We interrupt this podcast with a quick shout out to the sponsor of this week's episode, which is Fabletics Men. I've been with Fabletics now for 2 years. And the reason why I've been with them for so long is for one, probably multiple reasons, but the main reason is for quality. I'm a massive, big, big believer that quality is key within anything in life. I think the biggest thing for me is like, I'm one of those people who loves to just wear gym wear all the time, whether it's just to chill and relax in, whether it's a training, and I'm pretty much just like a real life sloth, and I like to be able to like chill in something and then go to the gym in it really quickly. And I think that's what the Fabletics Men activewear brand apparel allows me to do, because it's really simple, basic, well fitted, easy to train in, and it's comfy, so it's pretty much just a win-win for me. Now, if you become a VIP member, new VIP members can get 2 pairs of shorts for £24, or you can get 55% off single items. Becoming a VIP member is completely free and will give you between 30 to 70% off every single month. And you can also shop or skip any month. You can sweat and test the products, and you can cancel any time. And if you do become a VIP member of Fabletics family, make sure that you use my name or you select the podcast name, the Not So Fit Couple podcast, in the quiz. I will leave the links to Fabletics Men in the podcast description and in the YouTube description for you to shop Fabletics Men.
Yeah, I get what you're trying to say. Yeah. It's well, you probably also didn't realize how much shit there is in the industry in terms of how people market themselves for money.
It's kind of what I was dancing around. I didn't want to kind of dive into it.
It is, so there's a lot of bullshit in the industry, and we base ourselves off of breaking that down.
Yeah, I don't think I could work with you guys if you put out a lot of the shit that a lot of these influencers put out, because there's a lot of people who are putting out workouts and putting out, buy this product, buy this, and it's clearly just a brand endorsement and they don't give two shits about it. They don't care about booty tee. They don't care about, oh, this is a slimming corset that is like doing this. And like, and I'm obviously very in tune with a lot of the practices that media people put out there. So like the Photoshop techniques, a lot of the warping stuff. And I think people would be blown away if they saw the kind of stuff that people like Kim Kardashian.
How do you do that on photos? As in when you cinch people's...
Yeah, so like...
Oh, I see. Yeah.
I think working with you guys, I can comfortably say I've used Photoshop once on a photo of the two of you that I put out, and that was when Lucy had a spot on her nose.
Yeah.
That she was like, any chance you can just get rid of this? And I went, yep, touched it once. I've used it one time.
It was in Lanzarote.
Yeah, exactly, in Lanzarote. Yeah,
a massive, I don't know if it was a bite or a spot.
Yeah, exactly. Another time, I remember when my penis was hanging out the bottom of my shorts as well. It's just it's fucking so long sometimes. Carl has to edit out because it's not suitable for Instagram.
But then a lot of people don't kind of see that. And like there was stuff released with, I don't know if you saw Kendall Jenner. She had like something in a bikini, like a red bikini. And someone zoomed in on it and you could see that her actual skin was rippling from where a video editor had like not very accurately.
There was one with Kim as well, like on Abbott, where the thing went over and it was like,
a finger. And that's so damaging for people. Like that's so, so bad. Like growing up, I used to look at like people like Steve Cook or like, not Simeon Panda, but like these people who are like, oh, I'm a natural bodybuilder.
Yeah.
And you're like,
yeah, cool story, bro.
Yeah. And like growing up, I might have been like, oh, maybe he is. He's just like genetically gifted. Yeah. And I've come through it now and I've seen, oh, actually.
That's a very good point. You start to see the people who you've walked up to and gone, okay, they're natty, but.
Yeah.
And they claim like, that, and definitely not.
Clearly not. Yeah. There's a lot of that bullshit. And then, yeah, I just feel for a lot of the girls, to be honest, because, and guys, but girls as well, because there are some people out there who are just either genetic freaks or who are just like clearly photoshopping their images. And I just feel terrible for them to kind of have to, yeah.
To feel they have to do that.
I think
that.
The other thing that you see though is like, you'll see the companies and the individuals who pivot and change content depending on what is popular at that time.
Yeah, for sure. Like there are people out there who are putting up workouts that are like, who've spoken about in the past, I'm not going to name names, but there are some people who've said like 6 months ago, you can find a video where they're saying, oh my God, these people just put up these workouts that are completely irrelevant. And like, this is not a workout. Like, was it Tracerves we saw? Like an exercise where people have a dumbbell and they go, yeah, like this.
Fucking bullshit.
Yeah, and they put out a video like 6 months ago, like, oh, this is absolute nonsense. You can't do that. And then the same people are putting up those workouts like, oh, hey, do a Y press. And it's like, no, what are you doing? Like, there are probably, I don't know. When we filmed our VIP, we refilmed the VIP section of our workout library. Yeah. There are maybe 50 exercises total that you need to do in order to build a great physique. And these people are like, no, do like a spinning, pivoting 360 curtsy lunge with 8 kilo dumbbell strapped to your neck. And it's like, no, it looks cool on Instagram. It looks really cool.
It sells, yeah.
And people look at it and go, oh, maybe that exercise is the reason why she looks that good. And it's like, no, the reason she looks that good is she's genetically gifted. She trains like fuck day in, day out. She never does these exercises. She probably does 6 exercises total for legs, and they're the same workouts day in, day out. And that's the thing that we kind of promote.
That's the thing. You train with me pretty much like most days.
Yeah, another big perk of working with you guys.
Yeah, so, and obviously you see what Lucy trains. We pretty much do the same shit week in, week out, and we're just consistent doing it. And that's how you get results.
Yeah.
It's just not sexy to say, you do the same shit day in, day out. You don't need to change it every 5 minutes in order to get a result. But and I think that's why a lot of people would go down fad-based shit. But then you see people who just like pivot with stuff in regard to, they know that for some people in the industry, body positivity is popular. They know that bending over backwards to cause a skin fold on the left-hand side and clench the left butt cheek creates more cellulite. So it's going to get more likes at the moment because people are all about relatability, bro. So you'll see a lot of that shit going on. And I think it's easy to pick up now that you're kind of in tune with what's going on.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you know what? You know about those, like the skin folding over ones? I think if because me, Ben and Cal all collaborate on ideas, and we do try and think of content that's out the box, that's important, that's in line with what we do. Yeah. If I went to Cal and said, I'm going to post a photo, like scrunch.
yeah.
Not that photo. But just like, I obviously have a six pack. It's very quite, you can see it. If I did a photo bent over or pulling my skin and I said, oh, Kyle, this is a trend, I'm going to put this up, I categorically know you would say, no, it's patronizing as fuck for you to do that. And I think it is, coming from someone like me, if I was doing that, it is patronizing. I know everyone has roles when they sit over, but I probably don't need to point that out.
Like, we could go into the gym today and film a workout that would do incredibly well on Instagram with Lucy Davis doing like, oh, hey, here's a movement pattern that no one's ever done before. It makes no sense, but it looks really cool, really sexy on Instagram.
I could easily do that. I could easily post things on Instagram that would go viral, that would blow up, but I don't, because it's wrong.
No, and I think that's the difference between being an influencer and being a person with influence.
Yeah.
Like, being an influencer is a really negative connotation that all you do is post like, oh, hey guys, today I'm just going to promote this tea. It's like the best tea ever. And they've never drank it. It takes 5 pounds off your weight. No, it doesn't. Absolute bullshit. They're influencers. They don't give 2 shits. They just get emailed from their management, hey, this company wants to pay you 10 grand to promote this fucking tea. Cool. I promote it to my 2 million followers and I'll get a paycheck at the end of it. Never going to drink it again. Never drank it in the first place. End of. You guys, day in, day out, promoting content that is, I think, giving like a positive mental state, positive ideals, or I don't know. It's just, it's not bullshit. And I simply wouldn't work for you guys if you were day in, day out promoting the absolute bullshit that I see people do.
I mean, you just get fed up with it. I fucking get sick of seeing it.
Yeah.
I've had to unfollow quite a few people because it triggers me.
Yeah,
literally. I genuinely get upset by it because I'm like, how can you share that to other innocent people? And I say innocent people because they don't know any different. Young girls would look at it.
Gets me is the thing that, like, you'll get some people who, like, their ethos and what they're about is very strongly opinionated on those type of people who promote bullshit, who put crap into the industry and will actively speak and voice that. But then 4 weeks later, we're doing a podcast with that person or doing an event with that person or like being friends with that person. And it's just like fucking, you couldn't be any more two-faced.
Mm.
Yeah. It's very backwards sometimes in regard to like, people just want to like use people to move out of the field. And I'm all about like everyone getting on, but I think what you've got to keep into consideration is your own ethos and your own values over trying to push forward and leapfrog on someone else's success as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Yeah, there's a lot of that in the industry.
Which is what you do often see, and it's like, what is going on?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But, okay, another question, Kyle.
Go on.
Tongue in cheek.
Hit me.
What is the best thing about working for us?
Ooh,
and what is the worst thing?
I'd say the best thing about working for you guys is the freedom to just create stuff. And like, so if I was working for an agency or working for another brand that had six layers of like, this is the, like, so I'm head of content, but like say there was head of digital, head of visuals, and then like a visual director, and then a company manager, system manager, and then like a CEO or something. Like, there was like six layers of people. If I said, hey, I want to put up this Instagram thing, they'd say, cool, I'm going to check it off with Jill, who's going to check it off with Rob, mm-hmm. who's going to check it off with Gary, who's going to check it off with the fucking CEO. No. With us, I say, oh, hey, saw this cool trend on TikTok. I literally DM'd Ben last night. Cool. Saw this cool trend. Let's shoot it tomorrow. Instant. It's like we
quick pace in it, yeah.
Yeah, really quick. Really. I'm like, if we fail, fuck it, we fail. We just start again the next day, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's really good. That's great for me. Like having the creativity and like the ability to kind of, yeah, do our own thing. Really good. The worst thing.
Ooh.
I mean, Ben farts every 12 seconds.
Yeah, I would like, feel like that's probably the worst thing. That is an issue.
I should have put that in the contract fair, shouldn't I? Just be susceptible to,
by the way.
Yeah, backward arrows every now and again.
The worst thing about working for you guys, honestly, like, I'm not even just saying this, there are no negatives to my job. Like, I would put
one to you is that, like, and I think this is part of the industry that we work in as well, and like the culture and something that we need to continually be working on collectively is the ability to switch off sometimes. Like once, because we don't really have like a natural parameter of times, like it's 9 to 5, or like sometimes there'll be like stuff on a weekend that we do. Like that would be my, even from my point of view.
Yeah.
The kind of thing.
That's a good way of looking at it. Yeah, I've not even really thought about that, to be fair. Because so obviously being a part of the My Coach School, I look after the Instagram page for the My Coach School. So there are like on a Saturday, there are, you know, DMs that need responding to. I've got, in the last couple of weeks, I've stopped responding as much on the weekends. I'll do it like in the evening or in the morning. But then like the post goes up at 7. So like I do work at 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
It's not work, but it's like 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something. But then now that we've found like a scheduling tool, that's better.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, so if you guys need something sending to you, I always send it on to like ASAP. Mm-hmm. I don't like to just say, oh, I'll do that on Monday at like 9 a.m. Because that's just not really the industry. We work quick, run Instagram, on YouTube, on TikTok, on all loads of social media. So we do need things quick. It needs to be sent. And I have no issue doing it, to be honest. But I think for some people, yeah, not being able to switch off and be like, yeah, like I'll be on, say I'll be on like FaceTime to some of my mates and then you guys message me at like 8:50 or like 8:30 and say, oh, any chance you could just, you ask me a quick question and I'll go, oh yeah, it's this, done.
Yeah.
They'll be like, oh my God, what the hell? Are you working at 8:30? I'm like, yeah, it's just Lucy just needed to know like what the aspect ratio for Instagram IGTV was.
Like a
30-second job in the bag. I'd never do that. Well, I think that's because their company doesn't give two shits about them. Mm-hmm. So why should they give two shits about their company?
Yeah.
Their company is just like, we'll pay you as low as we can pay you to do your job. And they'll say, cool, I'll do that work from 9 till 5. But then from 5 till 9, don't even think about talking to me because I'm not yours through that time.
Whereas with you guys, it's like, there's a mutual respect there. And if there was no mutual respect, you wouldn't hear from me until 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
But like, I enjoy coming to work. We get on really well. So if you need to know an answer to something, it's because you're not messaging me at 8:30 because you think, oh, Cal's not doing anything and he's my bitch, so he's going to respond to me whenever I fucking ask. It's because, oh shit, I actually need to know this.
Yeah.
Cal, what's the answer? Yeah. Really easy.
I was in that mentality when I worked for the police. I'd clock on at such and such time, I'd clock off, and outside those, it was like, leave me the fuck alone because this is my time.
Literally.
I think it depends like what role you go into and like knowing the position in the industry that you're going into, because I know that people who work for like other social media companies and other fitness companies and whatever, and they do get stressed because there's that element of like sometimes there is no switch off and it does need to be that time of like rest, because you'll just burn out otherwise.
Yeah.
And obviously there'll be great perks to some stuff, like we'll just go and leave and go somewhere for 6 weeks. Yeah. And that in that period of time there's very little stress. Yeah. But then we'll have like times, like especially the start of this year, where we've got like loads of campaigns.
Yeah.
We've got loads of web stuff to do, we've got the app stuff to do, and it's like stressful. So it kind of comes like waves and troughs of like where stuff will even out.
Yeah.
But I'd say even for us as well at the same time, it's like we went away last week to Anglesey. I'd say it's the first time since running the business that I have from like all levels being able to fully take a step back and switch off without thinking, oh shit, I need to just, I'd quickly go on email and write that email. No, it wasn't happening. I'd put out of email on. If anyone was emailing me, it was fucking getting done the week later. Same with like Instagram, like the content that I did that week, it was me and you like pissing around on the beach. Yeah. We fucking around. I took a couple of selfies. Yeah. Yeah. Weren't sending stuff back to you going, oh, Cal, can you edit this so I can put the post up this week? I would just put the phone selfie up because it was real. I've got like 50 DM requests because I wasn't replying to no DMs. Mm. Client are told that I wasn't going to be doing check-ins that week apart from like a text format.
Yeah.
And they were fully on board and appreciative of that, because again, like sometimes to be selfless, you've got to be selfish with your own time and spend that time to like just take a step back.
Yep.
Because most of the time, if you think of anything, like I know this is really like weird analogy, but if something doesn't work, like the microwave will turn off and turn it back on.
Yep.
Like usually function okay. Exactly the same with us. If you switch off for a week and back on, you'll probably perform better the week after anyway.
Yeah.
It's important that you have that time as well.
Yeah.
I think that's like the same for you. Like if you ever need anything, like you're going to Barcelona in a week, you'll probably have a great time from just switching off and doing nothing. You'll probably come back and be way more creative because you've seen different places.
Yeah.
You've been around different people. Like it's good just to have that time to just completely zone
like,
out.
At the moment, I'm feeling pretty burnt out with like, I've got a lot of tasks on. We've got like the app launching soon. We've got a lot of like back end content that needs going up. I've got files all over the place. And so yesterday I got home, I was on FaceTime. I was just saying like, I'm feeling really burnt out at the minute. I feel like yesterday I plowed through a shitload of work that needed to get done and boxed off so that we could shoot today. And it's just nice to know that there is like that flexibility. I could just message you and say, hey, I'm feeling a bit snowed under. I need a bit of a break from this, that, the other. I need help. If needs be, but I don't know.
I mean, that's the difference between like a leader and a boss as well. Like a leader will be someone who's like willing to do shit, like, and not have that ego.
Mm.
Like I said the other day, all three of us at the end of the day are content creators as well.
Right.
So like we can all do shit and we can all help out in order to make sure that we all get shit done. I mean, that's what we always do.
Mm.
We always muck in to get shit done.
Yeah.
I also think we have. This is not anything to do with what we were speaking about, but my head's been like wearing itself.
I
think we have a really good emotional relationship. So
we get tissue out here.
No, I'm just thinking, for example, you wouldn't have experienced being close to someone who essentially gets bullied online or trolled online. And I remember in Lanzarote,
oh my God,
I had it really, really, really bad with that one photo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was the first time you've probably ever seen me cry about it. I just went off. I was like very in myself. I just went off to do some work and you came over to me and you were just like, are you okay? Can we talk about it? Because I think you needed to understand how I was feeling. So like, for example, in future, when it happens again, you kind of knew what to say. Like when it happened not long ago, you were so great with me. You knew what to say. You had a really good approach to it. Whereas in Lanzarote, you were probably a bit taken aback because you were like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, she's upset. What do I don't understand. Like, what do I do?
I just think, like, Lucy's got 500,000 followers, so she must get hate all the time, so she's used to it. But, oh, my God. Mm. You get a shitty message from someone saying, oh, your abs look like this, or you look like that, or whatever. It really affects you. And that was something, to be fair, that I should have mentioned before. That's something I didn't realise. Mm. I didn't realise how much.
Yeah, you
much,
probably like, didn't expect stuff like
Lucy
that.
Because Lucy reads every single message that comes across. Like, I see you in Lanzarote, UB, in a bikini, walking around, suntanning, like, responding to DMs. Like, yeah, I didn't realise just how much, like, is it work? How much engagement you have with your audience. And, like, mm-hmm. There are people that I know, influencer-wise, who certainly don't manage their accounts, certainly don't, like, give a shit about messages. But, like, for people like you, you're very much, like, in touch with everyone, and you actually give a shit, and people's opinion does affect you. And yeah, I remember walking to the underground car park in Lanzarote. Me and Ben went to maybe a haircut or something.
Yeah, you went in,
and Lucy was in the back of the car, like, I hope you don't mind me saying, but just crying your eyes out.
Oh God, yeah, I remember.
Some absolute cunt had said some horrible things about you, and I was genuinely like a bit.
Yeah, I remember you being really thrown off.
Yeah, I didn't know what to do. It was horrible.
But that's what I mean. We have like. Which is important in our industry to have a good emotional relationship and be able to talk about different things, be able to communicate about different things. And I feel like you could do that with us, and we could do that with you as well, which is just something I wanted to point out.
Yeah, it's very, very valid point, I think.
Thank you.
And that's one of the other things that you probably don't. No one else is going to see that part, because unless you're there at the time and see that an initial emotional response to a message, you wouldn't see it. So that's probably like another side to things that you'll see a lot more of.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, Lucy just gets a lot of fucking hate online.
I think whenever you're great at something, that it's gonna come with.
Oh my God, shit. So much. And literally 99 days out of 100, it would just run off your back and it wouldn't really affect you that badly. But then some days you're at a low point, like, missing home, you're missing your family, you're missing your mum and dad, COVID's been a bitch, you haven't seen your grandparents in however long, and some knobhead just sends some horrible message to you. It just
genuinely
slaps you in your down.
Yeah.
Just makes you want to punch some people, but...
Mm-hmm. On a slightly different note, do you know what else is new, apart from Cal, in the podcast that I didn't have last week?
Ooh, what's new?
It's not an object.
Oh. Not me.
Oh, mustache.
The Tash. Mm. Hello. Well, how do we feel about a Tash, Luce?
I like it.
Kissing a man with a mustache.
Yeah, I like it.
Really?
Yeah. Well, he's done this new thing where he's like cut all his top bit off.
Yeah, I like now I trim from there down. Yeah. So it like makes the top bit a little bit neater.
I do like
it. I need to do the bottom bit a bit neater and have a bit of a shave up as well.
Would you go clean shaven with a tash?
I don't know, that's too strong.
That's way too.
That's pretty strong.
That's.
Yeah, I feel like it's like when you like cut all your grass and then you like use scissors to do the rest of the edge as well to make it really prominent. It's a bit much. I kind of want a little bit of a subtle blend.
Like shaving like a star into your pubes or something.
Yeah, it's fucking a bit too much. It's like anal bleaching. That it's just too far. No. It's a mustache, and that's as far as it goes. Remember when I had the Captain Hook?
Last year. God. That was before I came on with you guys.
Was it? Really yeah, I had a really big handlebar. Yeah.
And he had orange hair.
I was going through a midlife crisis, babe.
Right.
I look like fucking. I look like a crossbreed between like Jimmy Neutron and Captain Hook. It was fucking
like
not
your hair was
a good
orange,
time, was it?
And you had this, you got like this.
Oh, but you loved them all the same, right?
Loved them all the same. But I'm just
but you're thinking
back.
In the back of your mind, what the fuck has happened to my boyfriend?
Just thinking back, he had orange hair and like this crazy mustache.
Like, so your sister dyed my hair, it was supposed to be blonde, and it went ginger. And then I end up shaving it all off, and then I look like Charles Bronson.
Yeah.
I was so
there's a lot of looks that went on in 1 month.
Yeah, lockdown was tough.
Yeah, took its toll.
Jesus.
But it's been a great episode. I've enjoyed this one.
We're
having a little bit of a different chit chat. Yeah, I hope you guys have enjoyed it as well.
Yep.
Getting a bit of an insight. And obviously, just know that the man behind the page, the content, and often in the Facebook group and stuff as well. So if you're not part of our Micro School private Facebook group,
link in the bio.
Cal will insert that link in the bio. There's going to be a few other links in there today as well.
Sure.
Please make sure that you vote for us in the British Podcast Awards.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't,
what are you gonna do?
There'll be no more episodes,
and
go on.
Cal is gonna come round to your nan's house.
Yep. On the way.
And with a small needle pierce every single tea bag that she has in the house.
Yeah, yeah.
So that when you have tea, when you sip it, all you'll taste is little bits all the time. And that's not a good thing either.
No, you don't want that.
Just make sure that you vote.
Yeah, in the bio, come on. Yeah.
That's what Carly told me before. But the other thing is, we love it when you share the podcast. We love it when it's on story. We love it when you message us about it, because it's honestly, out of any piece of content that I create every single week, YouTube, Instagram posts, Facebook, email, the podcast is the most meaningful to me and the one where we can have a chit chat and be on a level with.
Mm-hmm. I agree massively.
It's like a little therapy session.
Do you know what's so funny? Whilst you've been talking, you know how usually it's just you on the camp, just you and just me? Yeah. That's on both of us, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I've been like, I've been doing this when Ben's been talking. Like, you're going to watch that.
Are you that hungry?
I've been doing that on the mic and I just realised that camera is also on me. So the whole time you've been speaking.
I never noticed that you usually do that, but if you've just been an absolute freak.
No, well, sometimes when the camera's just on you and like I'm sat, you sit over there and I'm sat here, I'm just like looking around, I'm doing this with the mic.
Like, why are you putting your nose on the mic?
No, just like rubbing the ends of my nose or just being weird, and I'm completely on camera this time.
Well, thank you very much for that.
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
But yeah, please share the podcast. Again, all the links from this episode will be left in the bio. My FabLex link will be left in there as well, with the quiz, I think, as well, to shop anything FabLex, and obviously this absolutely sick outfit. And if you enjoyed it, or if you've got any questions about the episode or for Cal will usually reply from the Not So Fit Club podcast page as well. So if you want to ask him anything or us anything and you're watching on YouTube, drop those comments below, or any future guests that you want to see, leave in the comments for us as well.
And as always, guys, we will catch you in next week's episode. See you later.
Bye, guys.
See ya.